You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. It's a wonderful Wednesday in wonderful Brevard County, beautiful Brevard County. And we are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, as we are going through the Word of God. We are right now exploring various veins of truth from God's Word on what seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're looking at all of the different things that we are supposed to be seeking as believers in the Word of God. And right now, that aspect is we are supposed to be seeking justice, not justice as the world defines it, justice the way that God defines it. And God is a God of justice. Okay. Please understand, God cannot be bribed, He cannot be bought, He cannot be sold. He is 100% merciful, but He is also 100% just. And God and God alone is able to navigate both of those truths and make both of them true at the same time. And so we want to thank God that He is a God of justice. I want to take just a moment and say thank you to the folks at Weirich Air, Weirich. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, and for 40 years, they have been providing professional sales, service, repairs, and the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. And so one of the recent things that we had them do was replace an exterior light fixture in our church parking lot. And I can tell you this, I've been to some parking lots that you could hardly see the nose in front of your face. It was not well lit up or anything like that. Well, we told them that we wanted our parking lot lit up, and so they took out a fixture that had malfunctioned. Before that, it was a very expensive fixture that didn't do that well for us, but they put in a fixture this time that lightens up the entire parking lot. It is wonderful, and you know, they do the research. It required a special type. They said, we're going to have to look to see what we can find that will work on, in that application. They found it. They came. They installed it, and it is glorious. So if you have a situation and you don't know how to solve it, call the experts at Weirich Air, Weirich. They deal in air conditioning, heating, and electrical. And they can, if you don't have a solution, they may have a solution for you, and you will be very pleased with what they come up with. So I want to invite you out to our Wednesday night Bible study tonight, and that meets at 7. Our youth ministry takes place at 7, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that. Today we are going to return to 1 Kings chapter 10. So at our most recent board meeting, I was sharing with the board the things that I am sharing with you here in this situation, or in this 30-minute time slot that we've got. It's not a situation. It's what we do Monday through Friday. Three times a day, 8:30 of a morning, 10:30 of a morning, and 5 o'clock of an evening. First and the last are on 91.5 FM. The one at 10:30 is on WWBC 1510 AM. And you can always listen to it at WMIEFM.com down on the Listen on Demand feature. So let's go down to 1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 2. This has to do with the Queen of Sheba and Solomon, like we've been talking about. It says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has moved, or has loved Israel, because forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." And so we have been talking about all of the places where Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, had seen the wisdom of Solomon. We started off with the house that he had built and how we need to make sure we build our house in a wise manner, both physically and spiritually and financially and relationally, about the food on his table. And we talked about there needs to be wisdom in the way that we eat. We need to be showing restraint and we need to show balance. So there needs to be wisdom that is seen there. If there's not wisdom there, find somebody who can help you with the wisdom factor. The seating of his servants, the organization that he had put in place, the service of his waiters, the training that had gone in, their apparel, the way that they appeared while they were doing their duties. Today we want to pick up with his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. So cupbearers does not sound like a very prestigious position to hold, but for members of royalty, that cupbearer, and in this case there were multiple cupbearers, they were very highly trusted officials. Excuse me. If there was something that was set before the king, there was a person that drank from the cup before the king did, because if there was a threat on the king's life, it was more than likely going to come through an attempted poisoning. And so the cupbearer was willing to lay his life down to make sure that the cup lived. If you remember, when the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome, they had a shipwreck. And while they were gathering fire gathering logs for a fire, they started the fire. Paul threw his on there, and a viper came out and latched onto Paul's arm. He threw it off into the fire, and everybody said, even though he escaped the sea, he's not going to escape justice. And they stood and they watched. They were waiting for him to die. And that is the same mindset that would take place with the cupbearer. Okay, so you might get a cupbearer and he'd say, you know what, that tastes pretty good. You know, he might make a facial expression and say, you're really going to like that. But they weren't looking for his taste buds. They were looking to see how the cupbearer was going to react to what had been set before him. You will find this with Pharaoh back in Genesis chapter 40. There was what's referred to as a baker and a butler in that case. But in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 11, you see that that butler had the role of placing the cup in the king's hand. I'm trying to turn back there just as quickly as I can so I can read that verse for you. It says in verse number 9, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Okay, so that was what he did. The baker saw that the interpretation of the butler was good and said, well, here's what the dream that I had last night. And the interpretation of that dream was within 3 days that the butler was going to be lifted up. He was going to be executed and the birds of the air were going to come and eat his flesh. Now that might sound like a horrible, horrible situation, but do you realize he just got 72 hours of notice that he needed to get his life right? Okay. So even if we hear something from God and it's not exactly what our flesh wants to hear, it can still have tremendous spiritual benefit. What we see in the cupbearers that the Queen of Sheba saw when she came to visit Solomon was that there was tremendous loyalty, that Solomon had already positioned himself in such a manner that he had multiple people who were willing to lay their life down to make sure that his life was spared. And you got to realize, it wasn't exactly the smoothest transition in the world from King David to King Solomon. Adonijah had tried to rise up, and so there was an Adonijah faction of believers. Absalom had tried to rebel and rise up, and there had been a large following of people that when they found out that Absalom had been killed, they didn't want to have anything to do with that anymore. That wasn't me. I wasn't around there. Solomon had come and he had handled all of the challenges that were still remaining when David had completed his journey. And Solomon comes up and now he was operating with such wisdom that the Queen of Sheba, who did not believe the reports that she had heard, that the hard questions she was asking of Solomon, she was getting it answered because she saw that the people who were serving Solomon were loyal and they were faithful. They were loyal and they were faithful. I want to ask you a question. Would you trust you? Would you trust yourself or define yourself as being faithful to the extent that when it comes to the service of God, service in the house of God, that people would see your faithfulness and your loyalty and they would say, I need servants like that where I am. Okay. It's very important that when we read the Word of God, that we don't just read it as a historical document, that we read it as it is spiritual truth that needs to communicate spiritual truths to us that will challenge us in our walk with God. And so faithfulness, loyalty, dependability, those are all extremely important. The Bible says, Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? And I will tell you that just because you declare yourself faithful does not mean that you are faithful. But when God says you're faithful, then you're faithful. And I will tell, I'll throw this one more thing in. If your family doesn't deem you faithful, you're not necessarily faithful. And they are looking for faithfulness. They're looking for faithfulness. They want to make sure that in your walk, in your life, in my walk, in my life, that we are not going to permit or authorize anything toxic, anything that is spiritually toxic or spiritually lethal to come into our home. Okay? I don't just not want to partake of things that are going to kill me. I don't want to partake of things that are going to make me sick. And so another term that you would find in the Old Testament is that David had a bunch of armor bearers, a bunch of mighty men who were willing to put their life on the line to protect the life of King David. I will tell you that in 2021, the need for loyal, faithful servants of the Most High God has not diminished. It is just as important as it always has been. And I want to encourage you to be a person that when they see how faithful and loyal you are, that it's going to cause them to have their hard questions to go away. The next thing, the last thing that is mentioned here in the list of testimonies that the Queen of Sheba had seen was it was his entryway, Solomon's entryway, by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Now, the temple that Solomon built had a great number of steps, so it literally was an ascension up to the house of the Lord. If you were going to go to Jerusalem from another region, Jerusalem, you went up to Jerusalem. It was a place of elevation. So you traveled up. It wasn't, you know, you just went north or you just went south. You went from one level of elevation to a higher level of altitude, and so you went up to Jerusalem. But it wasn't just, you know, the steps up to the temple. She watched how Solomon went up to the house of the Lord. So, if you know me, I don't shy away from asking challenging questions because I want to provoke one another to good works, as the scripture says. I want to challenge you. I want to lay something out there before you so that it will help you in your walk with the Lord. And so I want to ask you, what is your approach to the house of the Lord? If people were to watch you, what is your mindset? What is your journey like? What is your preparation like? I remember hearing Joyce Meyer talking about when her kids were little, that and they were relatively young in their faith, that they would get out at church and they would get out. Everybody would be all smiles and you know, conversive and, you know, pretend like everything was wonderful. She said, but what you didn't know was it had been a battle royale on the way to the church, you know, getting the kids dressed, getting them out of bed, getting them fed, getting them dressed appropriately, doing so in such a way that you are going to get there on time, not late. My kids understand that for me, getting there 15 minutes early means that I'm running late. That's just the reality. I've got things to do. I don't like rushing. If you've ever been behind somebody in traffic and you're in a hurry, you are generally going to be behind somebody who has had the wisdom to leave in such a way that they are not having a stress-filled journey. They have planned appropriately. They've planned for too many traffic lights being red instead of green. They've planned for heavier traffic. They have built margin into their life, so their journey is stress-free. In the meantime, you're behind them, and things didn't go the way that it needed to go that morning, and you've got to hurry up and get there, because if not, you're going to be late, you could get in trouble, you could lose your job, all of those sorts of things. And so you're like, man, I just can't wait to get behind or out from behind this person. Now, I will tell you that I don't generally speed. I'm allergic to parking tickets. They cause my wallet to break out into poverty. So I like to plan appropriately so that I'm not having to stress myself. I got enough stress in my life. I don't need to complicate the matters. But the one person that I can be behind that does create a little frustration is the person that's going 10 miles beneath the speed limit. I'm sorry. I just wanted to vent a little bit and get that off of my chest. That's a different mindset. The Queen of Sheba looked at the way that Solomon approached the house of God to worship. Now, I think it's about more than just the journey. I think it's about more than just the steps. If you look, he had dedicated the temple. You could go over into Second Chronicles and you could read about it. You could flip back a few chapters here in First Kings and read about it as well. But Solomon approached the house of God extravagant, lavish worship. It was over the top. You know, Robert Morris tells a story about one time where he felt like God had challenged him to give away everything. They sold their house. They gave away the proceeds from the house. They sold their cars. They gave away the proceeds from the cars. Everything that they had of value, they sold it. They liquidated their retirement fund. They gave it away. And Robert Morris said, you know, I felt like, you know, God, I've always heard that you couldn't outgive you, but this time I think I've got you. And he said, about that time I got a phone call and a person said, hey, God spoke to me and he wants me to give you a jet airplane. He wants me to pay for the pilot. He wants me to pay for the gas. He wants me to pay for the maintenance on the plane. I'm just going to take care of everything. You just tell me where you need to go, when you need to go, and it's taken care of. And he said, and about that time, he felt like God said, gotcha. you cannot outgive God. A lot of people, okay, just go ahead and curl your toes just a little bit. A lot of people approach the house of God as a convenience instead of an act of covenant worship. Well, if I feel like it, if I'm not too tired. I was talking to a person in a different region of the country, and they have not had near the outbreak of coronavirus that we've had here in Florida. They've had it pretty well under control now for a while, but people haven't necessarily returned to church, and all of a sudden people have decided that, you know what, they're going to go out. They feel a little safer. And the person said this: the people who have been out, many of them for a year, came back to church and they realized how wonderful it was and how much they missed it. how much they missed it. There are so many churches in Brevard County that sometimes we neglect or forget what a precious gift being able to gather together to worship as believers really is. It is a blessing. A lot of people say, well, it's my only day off. Well, technically, it should be a day that belongs to God. And I will tell you that in tithing, I have learned that if I will honor God with the first 10%, that He will bless the 90% to make it go further than the 100% would have. Okay? And about a year ago, God spoke to me and He said, if you will honor me by honoring my day, I will cause your other 6 days to be so productive that it will be more productive than if you worked yourself all of the time. You and I, listen, Jesus said the Sabbath was created for man. You can't look at it as a bondage. You've got to look at it as a blessing. The Queen of Sheba, when she saw Solomon's attitude and approach to the house of the Lord, it was the last element of doubt that she had in her life. People need to see that we have made God a priority. You know, we've talked about things. We've talked about the wisdom in the way we build our house, the way in wisdom in the food that we eat, wisdom in organization, wisdom in training, wisdom in appearance, wisdom in loyalty. But it was the fame concerning the name of the Lord that drew her there in the first place. And the first and the last of the matter is people need to see the wisdom that we have in our approach to the house of God and to the God of the house. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge, and it's the beginning of justice. I pray this week that people will see that you have a wise approach to the house of the Lord, and it will make a difference in their life. God bless you. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We will see you back here tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.